When Bilbo came to himself, he was literally by himself. No one was near. He was shaking and as chilled as stone, but his head burned with fire.
Oh, my head. Now I wonder what's happened. At any rate, I'm not yet one of the fallen heroes, but I suppose there's still time enough for that.
Baggins! Bilbo Baggins!
Hello there! Hello there! What news?
What voice is it that speaks among the stones?
Well, I'm blessed. This invisibility has its drawbacks after all. I'd better remove the ring. It's me, Bilbo Baggins!
It's well I've found you. You're needed, and we've looked for you long. Gandalf has had us searching all morning. Are you much hurt?
A nasty knock on the head, I think. But I have a helm and a hard skull. All the same, I feel sick and my legs are like straws.
I'll carry you down to the camp in the valley.
Baggins, alive after all, I am glad. I began to wonder if even your luck would see you through.
Your arm's in a sling.
Poor, terrible business, and it nearly was disastrous. There are few unharmed in all our host. But come inside the tent, you're called for. Hail, Thorin, I have brought him.
Farewell, good thief. I go now to the halls of waiting to sit beside my fathers until the world is renewed. Since I leave now all gold and silver and go where it is of little worth, I wish to part in friendship from you, and I would take back my words and deeds at the gate.
Farewell, King Under the Mountain. This is a bitter adventure if it must end so. Not a mountain of gold can amend it. Yet I'm glad that I have shared in your perils. That has been more than any Baggins deserves.
No, there is more in you of good than you know. Child of the kindly West. Some courage and some wisdom. Blended in measure. If more of us valued food and cheer and song above hoarded gold, it would be a merrier world. But sad or merry, I must leave it now. Farewell.
Farewell.
Then Bilbo turned away, and he went by himself and sat alone, wrapped in a blanket. And he wept until his eyes were red and his voice was hoarse. He was a kindly little soul. Indeed, it was long before he had the heart to make a joke again. Later, he learned from Gandalf how the battle had ended.
And so the eagles from the Misty Mountains came to our aid.
Yes, watching the gathering of the goblins, they too had gathered in great numbers. With their help, the tide of the battle turned, but even with the eagles, we were still outnumbered. In that last hour, Beorn himself had appeared.
Beorn?
Oh, no one knew how or from where. He came alone and in bear's shape, and he seemed to have grown almost to giant size in his wrath. The roar of his voice was like drums and guns, and he tossed wolves and goblins from his path like straws and feathers. It was Beorn who stooped and lifted Thorin, who had fallen pierced with spears, and bore him out of the fray. Swiftly he returned, and his wrath was redoubled, so that nothing could withstand him, and no weapon seemed to bite upon him. He scattered the bodyguard and pulled down Balg himself and crushed him. Then dismay fell on the goblins, and they fled in all directions. Some of the dwarves and men and elves are still pursuing them.
Where are the eagles?
Some are in the hunt, but most have gone back to their eyries. Dane has crowned their chief with gold and sworn friendship with them forever.
I'm sorry.
What?
I mean, I should have liked to see them again. I'm almost afraid to ask, but what of my companions in Thorin's company?
Of the 13, 10 remain. Feely and Keely fell defending Thorin with shield and body, for he was their mother's elder brother. The others are with Dane. He has become king under the mountain.
And the treasure?
Dane has given a 14th share of all the silver and gold to Bard, who has divided it to his followers and friends freely and fairly. There will be a great reward for you, Mr. Baggins.
My reward would be to return to my home. Will I be going soon?
As soon as you like.
In the next few days, Bilbo prepared to set out for his home in the Shire. But first, they buried Thorin deep beneath the mountain, and Bard laid the Arkhan stone upon his breast.
There, let it lie till the mountain falls. May it bring good fortune to all his folk that dwell here after.
Upon his tomb, the Elven King then laid Orcrist, the elvish sword that had been taken from Thorin when he was captured in Mirkwood. It is said in songs that it gleamed ever in the dark if foes approached, and the fortress of the dwarves could not be taken by surprise. Then he took his leave of the remaining companions of Thorin and Bard, who had prepared a great treasure for Bilbo.
This treasure is as much yours as it is mine, though old agreements cannot stand, since so many have a claim in its winning and defense. Even though you were willing to lay aside all your claim, I should wish to reward you most richly of all.
Very kind of you, but really it's a relief to me. How on earth should I have got all that treasure home without war and murder all along the way? I'll take only these two small chests, one filled with silver and the other with gold. That's quite as much as I can manage. Farewell, Balin, and farewell, Dwalin. Farewell, dwarves. May your beards never grow thin.
Goodbye, burglar.
Goodbye, Bergen.
And farewell, Thorin Oakenshield, and Feely and Keely. May your memory never fade.
Goodbye, and good luck wherever you fare. If ever you visit us again when our halls are made fair once more, then the feast shall indeed be splendid.
If ever you're passing my way, don't wait to knock. Tea is at 4, but any of you are welcome any time.
Farewell.
Then he turned away. In company with Gandalf, he rode behind the Elven King, and beside them strode Bjorn. He had many hardships and adventures before he got back. The wild was still the wild, and there were many other things in it in those days besides goblins, but he was never in great danger again. For a while, Gandalf and Bilbo stayed at Bjorn's house, but in the early spring they took their leave of Bjorn and passed over the Misty Mountains. At last they came up the long road and reached the very pass where the goblins had captured them before. By now a bright sun was shining over the outstretched lands. There behind lay Mirkwood, blue in the distance, and far away was the lonely mountain on the edge of eyesight. On its highest peak, snow yet unmelted was gleaming pale.
So comes snow after fire, and even dragons have their ending. I wish now only to be in my own armchair.